Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm joined by Dylan and Brian to talk about episode number 6 of Survivor 45. We're still doing the Muratori thing. Still doing Earn the Merge. We're still pretending like this isn't just a normal merge vote with half of the tribe immune. And we're, that's where we're at. Crazy episode. I don't know if the season keeps on giving kind of heat so far. I don't know what you guys thought.
I think it's working out for the best because I think that it's remained entertaining. I was telling Brian before we got on, I definitely am starting to see some cracks happen with production. I'm still like I hate the faux merge, not real merge. I hate it. I've always hated it. It also seems like based on previews, we're potentially just not getting another straightforward tribal for at least another episode. So that kind of stinks, but really entertaining. Luckily for us, I think the weakest cast member left was eliminated, which is good for us as a viewer. But I agree, two thumbs up. And I also just want to thank you, Ben, for calling in from the ISS. I'm just happy we can get a connection up to you over there.
Yeah, half hour delay because of my technical difficulties.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it as well. Obviously, very exciting that we've seen. Listen, I know there's been another shot in the dark played that was safe, but that person wasn't going home. So in my book, this is the first successful shot in the dark. Very exciting. Record number of negated votes. How you feel about this versus Kelly Wentworth's, idol play in Second Chance is really up to you. What do you prefer? Because there is a lot of luck that went into this as well for Caleb. But, I was entertained, and I'm fine with this. And I've always been fine with Shot in the Dark, and I think this is, proof as to why it is, a good twist, a compelling one.
Shot in the Dark in theory is great when it's used correctly, which here it was, which was electric television. So it, I'm sure the production feels that everything is vindicated too with Shot in the Dark. Cause like you said, the one time it's been used, it was not used correctly when it was successful. So it was to have literally every single vote against you and to have it successfully played, like you said, a lot of luck. Caleb was saved by Emily again, in my opinion, but still just electric television. And I didn't watch this live. So I had known going into it that tribal wasn't going to just be cut and dry, because on the face of it, if I had not known anything, I would have thought Caleb was the one going home. Even then, with like some meta knowledge, it was still just really, really entertaining television. And a lot of people, I was telling Brian before this, I discovered that like five other people that I work with are huge Survivor fans because they were talking about how great that episode was. So I think that's a testament to like Survivor's not all the way back, but to have people in the workplace talking about it like that again is great to hear also.
Definitely. And I want to hammer out for the show, for our usage, do we want to say like you use a Shot in the Dark correctly when you play it, when you're getting voted off, but you use it successfully when you get it? Like Zach Ortenberger, he played Shot in the Dark correctly. It just didn't work out. It was unsuccessful. The Merge Boot Sydney on 41, she used it correctly. It just didn't work out. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a couple other examples as well, but yeah, as opposed to the only other time safe was Red in the Parchment, which would be, Jamie last season.
Where she, in my book, used it incorrectly.
Yes.
But successfully, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I would say successful is like an and, where you have to both use it. It's like.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Like, because I think it's an idol, right? If you play an idol but didn't receive the majority amount of votes, then you wasted the idol, right?
Right.
She successfully wasted the shot in the
dark. There's the situation too, is that if you play it when you didn't need to and you're completely just like messing up a vote too, which yeah. I can't recall.
That did that.
Yeah.
On that same tribal council.
Yeah. Well, that tribal council was a mess. So that's why, you know, we had, oh my God, what's her name? It's not Molly. What was it? The first boot of the season, or the, I guess the second boot, technically.
Was that her name?
Maddie. Yes. Yeah. Maddie. Yeah. Maddie went home with one vote against her.
Yeah, it was Brandon.
Three-vote tribal council, and Brandon idled out two vote. Like it was messy because everyone used.
Was there a Matthew?
It was Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew and Maddie.
And Matt, right? Or is that the same season? They're all blur at this point.
They all go together, but yeah, just two Matts. One Matthew, one Maddie.
Regardless.
I just wanted to like hammer that in so that like I know when we're talking about it in the future what to call these. Mm-hmm. So
this was the first successful use of a shot in the dark.
Yeah. So anyone else, you can call it and use it however you want. This on this show, that's how we're going to be using it.
It's like, you know, it's pretty much as crazy as you could use one. Like merge vote cancels literally every single vote, forces a revote. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the dream, right, for the producers.
Yeah, and it's so funny because like I didn't in the moment I was like, okay, idol like sucks for Jay, she's gonna get idled out, but I was like, oh wait, yeah, no, he had to sacrifice his vote, so it's just gonna be Revo. That's crazy. And then I got very scared for Emily immediately after, like I was like yes, and then I was like, oh no.
Yeah, no, I had the same kind of, you know, thing. I think the producers kind of leaned into it too, where it seemed like Emily was also really worried, and they like zoomed in on her face and played this like really somber music. And it was like,
yeah,
at what cost? No, but yeah, I mean, it was like, I think the storytelling was really, really good. I think that it also give some insight into why Jay Maya has had like a really weird edit so far, because like the producers of course do not want people to leave this episode feeling like super bad for her, because then they'll be like, oh, the twist sucked and she got screwed. So they like had to, you know, give her like the bare minimum of content to like, you know, make you feel something but like still make you happy with the result.
I think they also definitely played up Austin being upset about the sandwich, as you hear it mentioned probably about 20 times this episode.
Yeah, I think somebody made a joke like, "Who's talked about food more, Austin about the sandwiches or Angelina about the rice?"
Oh, good point. I want to say Jerry about the Hershey bar. If I had to say someone, but I think. I think it's like a fine choice. I feel bad for Jay. I would be upset if I were her, to say the least. But she's handled it well in all the exit press, you know, where she's kind of taken the approach of like, that was pretty cool. Like, if I had to go out, it was a pretty like cool way to go out. Which I think is the right way to look at it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a worse scenario. As a player, though, when you know that you're the backup vote going into that, clearly, and then to have that happen and have everybody celebrating around you, basically, as you quickly see, like, surely your game is done for. So I do feel bad in that sense. I don't feel bad, whereas I don't particularly think she was a good player, like we said, just based on the edit we've seen and things she said. But who knows if that's edit related or just for her. I do think that there is something to note, though, of why Reba decided to throw her under the bus so quickly here, that I think will potentially be a mistake down the road. Because don't get me wrong, I almost think that Caleb was 120% the correct vote to go here. I think putting my bias aside, it made a lot of sense. I don't know. All I know is that the Emily train keeps all steam ahead. If there's a winner's edit, I think she's definitely getting it right now. And also on the reverse side, I mean, the only two people I think I feel like are getting the potential edit, at least in my eyes right now, are Caleb and Emily. And I think Caleb's game would have to be almost an all time save for him to win at this point. Cause when you have a unanimous vote against you at the merge, to flip that and to go into win it would be extremely, extremely impressive. And what Emily was able to do tonight, both saving face a little bit with Caleb while also proving her worth to everybody else. That's some real G winner shit. And I think that she's like really just doing everything correctly at this point. It's just really, really impressive. And I got into a debate with my brother too of whether or not Caleb would still want to work with her after. And I think, because my initial reaction was no. My initial reaction was that, you know, she saved him twice now, and it was almost a tip of a cap, like, we need to go our separate ways. But I almost kind of think that might be one of Caleb's only path forward, is either to somehow finesse his way into the hatred that I think Bruce is eventually going to start getting from everybody outside of Katara. But then also, I think Emily proved a lot to everybody else here. And I really, really hope that they do find a way to continue working together, because I think that storyline wise, it would just be remarkable to see where they were at Lulu to then get there. But for Caleb, I think that his game from here on out would have to be an all-timer, because I think that he's in a really, really bad spot after this week.
Yeah, I think, I imagined that it was more like Caleb was like, all right, I'm going to play my shot in the dark. Don't worry about, like, voting with me. Like, don't sink your own game for me. I don't know if you guys felt like that was a possibility.
Yeah, that's my read as well.
Because there was nothing else she could have. That's why it was so smart. There's
nothing she could do.
Because how many times have you seen before somebody overplay their hand in that position and try to save an alliance member and end up just putting a bunch of spotlight on themselves? Like, we've seen that happen so many times before. So to see someone do that correctly is just very, very impressive. I don't know where in terms of her meeting with the numbers is. I don't know if she's now with Reba, if she goes to Bella. I don't know about that. I'm assuming it's with Reba, whatever those numbers are, because like I said, getting rid of Jemiah, I think might have been a mistake at this point for them to so easily throw her under the bus. Especially when, you know, last episode they were so convinced on Sifu being such a huge threat and wanting to get rid of him when they had three Reba members there. So I don't know what changed. I don't know what changed with that. Obviously Sifu was immune, so obviously that doesn't apply here. They're pretty hellbent on getting rid of two people outside of their own numbers, where I think Jemiah and Sifu would have been pretty loyal to Reba. So I think that's like, that's a pretty severe misplay, I think, by Julian and Dee and Austin and Drew. Although, like I said, I think Austin had his own vendetta against her, but I mean, he did the right vote at first. Obviously, once again, the fact that it was a unanimous vote and with the shot in the dark blade is just so fucking insane. I wish I watched it live and didn't have any sort of like meta insight, because that is just crazy. And I really liked them just leaving it open to interpretation. Like you said, Ben, the way the storytelling was done here was just so well done.
Yeah. On that line, the Survivor Twitter account needs to fucking chill, please. Cause they shared the clip of Kelly digging the idol up in Second Chance from under the shelter this week. Why would they do that other than someone finding an idol in the shelter? And then right before the episode, they posted a clip of the intro, but just the part where it showed the shot in the dark Easter egg. It's like, stop. I don't want that. Like, am I going to have to unfollow the CBS Survivor to not be like somewhat spoiled?
Yeah, it reminds me of when in Blood versus Water, they spoiled the rock draw in the promotions. The
next episode, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was like Thanksgiving weekend or week. And so like the next day at Thanksgiving, I was talking to my aunt and watching it, like, guess there'll be a rock draw in the next episode. Like, seems kind of pointless to, you know, watch the strategy session after the challenge, but still a really good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, luckily I didn't see that. I did notice the shot in the dark Easter egg in the preview, which, like, it seemed pretty clear to me that Caleb was going to play a shot in the dark. And I was like, I was relatively confident based off of like the way that he's been presented as a player that he was going to get it, but like, obviously not 100% confident. Also, I was looking at the runtime and I was like, what are they doing with the last 10 minutes here after he gets voted out? Like, obviously there's more of the content they have to get through. So it makes sense there to be another vote.
I just want to say, Survivor, spoilers aren't Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. References to previous seasons would be Easter eggs, but twice now they showed the amulets and now the, that's just a like preview.
Yeah, it's just a spoiler.
Yeah, just a spoiler. Like, when they said they were going to be Easter eggs, I thought they were going to be like, we chopped in one shot from a previous season's intro or something like that. But no.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we could talk about the Bruce thing, because that's really the only other like major part of the episode besides this kind of Caleb storyline is Bruce finding this idol. This was like the only part of the episode that I didn't like, just because it felt so, one, it felt rushed, and two, I was like, wait, why is Bruce have a normal idol when the other two camps didn't have a normal idol? Is this like a post-swap thing? They got changed out for like better idols or what?
Yeah, I guess if your idol gets used or flushed, then the next time it comes back into the game. Well, this is the second Lulu idol, right?
No, because this was on, was this on Lulu's? Oh, was this the, yeah, was this Abaya's re-hidden idol?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I don't think the Bello idol ever got found.
No.
Mm.
Or at least he didn't show us. Maybe it's not pertinent to the story. I know they've edited out some advantages in a couple of the last few seasons, but
I think the interesting thing with Bruce, because I've been saying I don't really understand what Bruce's game is at this point or what he's doing.
He doesn't even know.
I think that they're shaping him up to be a villain of sorts now going forward.
Which is
great, because they definitely, the way that they basically show that he's playing the two-faced game of smiling in your face and then trying to cut your throat in the back, which is great. Because I've been begging for like a real villain. I don't think that he is like a villain to go up against like the all-time villains of Survivor, but I think it's definitely something that will warrant going forward. I think him having an idol, because I agree, I think him being able to find an idol so simply compared to everybody else definitely sucks, but it's also like, it's great that we're not just getting shenanigans around an idol. They have an idol and that's it. So that's good. But I it will be very, Katara will feel very, validated once people, I think, start seeing that Bruce is such shit. So I think that's cool, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm glad it's taking shape. I think the edit he's getting is definitely that he is going to be humbled, at some point, and it's going to be very, very satisfying for the rest of us. Once again, I feel like we're getting alternate universe, like Bizarro Bruce. Like, we're getting like Bruce before the head injury was probably like such a sweetheart. Like, he was going to be like like we said, he was probably going to be first boot anyway, but he was going to be like just like those like dad goals. And then now it's, we have our villain of the story for this season. It's like it's his villain arc.
Yeah, I think we have like this kind of dissection of Survivor like meta strategy too, and this Caleb versus Bruce way of looking at things, where like Caleb points out Bruce's strategy is archaic, which I agree with, and then like Caleb then runs it to multiple other people and they also seemed to agree with Caleb, And I do think that, like, especially in this era of shot in the dark, I think this episode was almost like a stamp on the way that Caleb looks at the game being correct, because the reason that Caleb was able to make this play is because they didn't blindside him, which is the whole point of the shot in the dark being introduced, is like the producer is basically pushing everybody to get blindsided. And the whole argument from Bruce was, no, you don't have to talk to the other side and talk to all these other players. There's no reason to just like hunker down with your people and get a majority and then, you know, just chill. But that doesn't work, because if you project to the person who's getting voted out that they're getting voted out, then they can save themselves, which is what Caleb did. So by Caleb saving himself, he proved to Bruce that Bruce's way of playing is incorrect.
I will say, if I was on the island, I find myself, I would probably, as a traditionalist, would definitely be going Bruce's route of being like, hey, let's just make this easy. Like you said, it's especially in the new age, it just that has never gone properly, and especially with the shot in the dark, which has been really hit or miss. I think overall, now that we've seen it used successfully, I think it's you know, it's a positive for me. I think overall, I'd prefer for it to be out altogether, along with a lot of the other advantages. But I think seeing it used successfully for the very first time was very, very satisfying as a viewer. Still begging for kind of like traditional Survivor, but yeah, I think you made a good point, Ben, that it really kind of eliminates that like gang up bully mentality, that it allows kind of a lash, literally obviously a shot in the dark for them to play it. I do wonder how voting would go differently at all, though, in like this scenario with it completely removed. I wonder if it would have been Caleb unanimous, or if would have went to Jim. I don't know. But it was cool. It was cool seeing it successful. That was a ramble. I didn't know where I was going with that. I liked it. I'm glad it was played.
It's just like a perfect storm of like people being kind of nervous about the first vote, with two tribes of people who are not super, you know, game savvy yet. You know, a bunch of people, this was their first tribal, and for four others, it was their second. And then half of the tribe, well, more than half of the tribe was immune. So Bruce's, like, you know, off-puttingness couldn't actually bounce back on him at all. So I think, like, Caleb was kind of, like, a little bit of a victim of circumstance there, where it's just like, well, Caleb's running around a lot, we should just vote for him. And people are like, there's not a lot of options, so why not? And, like, he's also the least connected player in terms of like the starting tribes. Like, yeah, he had all of Bello, except for two people on his Lulu tribe, but they ultimately stuck together. So, you know, I don't know if Caleb would have been the merge boot target if everyone was available for it, but like it just kind of happened to break that way, which is like unlucky for sure. I just also don't get the idea that, like, I don't know why I have second chance, probably because of the Kelly Wentworth Idol thing. I have second chance on the mind. And, like, that was 9 years ago, 10 years ago now. And we were having this discussion of old school versus new school play then. Like, I don't know why Bruce showed up on Survivor 45 and was like, this is the strategy that will work. Long term, it worked for this vote, and it was impressive for him to rally 11 people to vote for Caleb. But I don't see why he would assume this style of Survivor would work anymore, you know?
Yeah, no, I just don't. I don't know. It's like I said, the entire purpose of Shot in the Dark existing is to force you to play a certain way that creates more, you know, dynamic TV in theory, right? It doesn't always work out, but that's like the theory behind why they've introduced it, clearly. And so, like, to be like, no, that's not how you're supposed to play. Let's play like, you know, this is 2007. It's like, no, that doesn't really work. You can't really do that. And like, yeah, this is obviously an example. Like, you have to keep the person who's going home at least like somewhat in the dark if you want to have a guarantee that they go home. And you have to have like a cogent backup plan. And I guess they did have a cogent backup plan with Jay Maya, so like it wasn't that big of a deal. But like if you're like Kelly, right? Like all it takes is one person, like, you know, all it takes is like an Emily or a Jay Maya to throw a vote on Kelly to be like, you know, just in case. And like you're gone if the shot in the dark works. So like there's like so much unnecessary risk for multiple people here.
That's why I wonder why Reba never brought up the idea of splitting it between Jay Maya and Caleb if they were still hell bent on getting Jay Maya out.
I think they didn't trust the Bellows.
But even if they're going on like their own way, if they're under the influence that that Caleb is going to be majority vote for everybody else, because I do think in that, but that, I mean, I guess not, because that would have only mattered, say if Caleb or Jeremiah played an idol, which clearly neither of them had and neither of them did play, of why they would have did that. But I just, for me, it just doesn't seem smart going completely unanimous on one person there, unless they were all like just so convinced Caleb did not have an idol at that point. And obviously they didn't plan for Emily basically kind of like warning him that it was going his way. But I do keep going back to that. I do think that out of all the players, I think the Reba tribe, I think definitely got their, because Drew and Austin, I don't know, I still think they're playing a good game. But like D and Julie, like they were such a shit show last week with everything with Sifu. I do think that it's kind of coming to light though that maybe the strategy there isn't the best. I don't know. I can't imagine this tribal though if it went the way of it being unanimous vote with Caleb not having a successful shot in the dark, of how different our conversation would be at this point, of just how fucking stupid shot in the dark is at this point, where like every time that it is properly used, it's not, it never is successful. So I am really glad that it was used. I'm sure they were, that it was finally used successfully in that way. I'm rambling and I don't know where I'm going.
Well, I think, you know, to talk about second chance again, because Kelly's 9 votes, right? That's what she negated on Earth. You only can get, like, these huge numbers of deflected votes when you have a group that trusts each other enough to vote with each other but don't trust each other enough to split votes. And it's, like, such an interesting, like, you know, almost like truce, you know, where it's, like, none of us have the intention of going that far together, but we can all agree that we don't want it to be us, so we're just gonna vote together now. And then, you know, because this isn't an alliance of 11, you know, this is just a bunch of people who had a common interest of staying in the game. And you know, I just think that's really an interesting part, and why, like, I mean, I guess can be topped if someone deflected 12 votes, but this is probably the highest end of negated votes we can ever get.
Yeah, I think this record would be unbeatable.
I think it also shows to the knowledge that Emily and Caleb have learned, though, being to multiple tribals at this point compared to everybody else who hasn't. Is that it now? I think that they're in like pure survival mode at this point. Whereas everybody else, it seems like we're gonna just start getting people are. This is where people have been making mistakes previously. Is that everybody's gonna start trying to make that super big move now? And it seems like at least on the face of it right now, that Caleb and Emily being in survival mode is gonna potentially save them going forward of not overplaying that big move early. Which goes back into Reba wanting to get their own tribe mate between Sifu and Jay Mai out of making that big move way too early, which Sifu for sure was that big move way too early. That's why I really, really like Emily and Caleb. I think Caleb, like I said, has a really shitty path forward from here on out. But Emily is, I don't know. Emily's game is just such an interesting thing to me, both from like a narrative perspective and just a fan of Survivor perspective, of like she was so unlikable to me in the first like 10 minutes of the show. And literally every single thing she's done since then has just been an improvement on that. Like I said, it's literally like a Jamie Lannister story arc. I just hope she gets like the happy ending compared to him, where it's just complete 180 and she's like quickly just turning into one of my favorite recent players. And same with Caleb. I really like Caleb a lot. And I think that both of them being there at the end would just be super, super interesting. Caleb more so because he would really have that path forward, but Emily's like kind of just whole story arc from beginning to end is just phenomenal. And a lot of it is the 90 minutes too, because I think like a regular hour episode, I don't know narratively how it's different for Emily, but maybe we don't see the transition as much. Maybe they don't waste as much time on her kind of like going after Bruce in the beginning and like going against Sabaya. Like it's that 90 minutes is really just playing in now to generally feeling like you're getting to know these people, and seeing them both as like a reality contestant player and as like a character in this story. It's just so compelling. I just really, really hope it doesn't get messed up with like production overreaching, which is my biggest concern next week is with that. It seems like we're going to be getting another split vote again, which I hate. I just hope we don't have a kneecapping, because that completely took me out of last season with Matt. I hope it's done well, but I do despise the fact that we're probably not getting a legit tribal next week.
Brian, your mic is
Sorry about that. I almost like quit watching Survivor after that. It's not that I like Matt, like he's fine enough player. But I just like really was like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Like a player who's in a fine spot will just get voted off for like no reason. Like at least like I want to feel like there's a reason why people are getting eliminated.
Mm-hmm. I think just having literally no control when you're in a good spot to then have that happen. That's never been Survivor's MO to do that. You've always been like,
you haven't been shot in the dark either.
Ugh. Yeah. It's just, it didn't make any sense. That's why I think it was so upsetting. So shocking. They were doing so well at that point. And then they shot themselves in the foot with a player that I liked a lot. He wasn't my favorite player, but like you said, Brian, but I liked him a lot. And I thought that he was in a really good position. We had that story with Franny too. And it all spiraled after that too, because he goes out, and Franny was either the next episode or the episode of their vote after that. After.
We lost celebrity Kane.
That, like you said, completely took me out of last season. So I'm just praying that that doesn't happen this season, because they are on such a good path forward with everything they're doing. And like I said, even the little things that they're doing that I don't like, the cast. It's picking it up so much for them that I think it would take a lot for them to screw it up at this point.
Yeah, I just don't understand why, because like, you know, we joke with the Murgatory thing, but like we're merging at 13, right? With in theory, the intent being that like post-merge votes, especially like the first half of the merge, are really interesting, because there's so many people, there's so many moving pieces, so many interlocking relationships you have to juggle. And you're taking like two of those potentially interesting votes and just like throwing them at a wall and hoping that it becomes interesting. And it's like, maybe like sometimes it creates more interesting tribal councils, but I feel like on average, they're less interesting. So like, I don't understand why we keep doing this.
The only time they're interesting is like, when there's a minority alliance versus a majority alliance and they do this split and one of the five is a majority of the minority alliance, right? Mm-hmm. Like right now, we don't know where anyone stands, really, other than they were anti-Caleb and anti-Jay. Mm-hmm. So
I think Emily, you do, in the sense that, like I said, she's in pure survival mode, and I think she's doing it really well at this point. Which also probably why maybe we feel most connected to her, because it's like kind of clear of what her situation is at this point. But I agree that everybody else, it doesn't seem like, maybe outside of Austin and Drew, doesn't seem like there's any like true like lock solid alliances. Like I said, it seems like everybody at some point there is going to try to overplay their hand and make a big move too soon. That's like the vibe I get from a lot of them, which is, you know, might not be the best gameplay, but I think it's just a matter of who's going to blow up first, which is super intriguing. But that, I think that's definitely why I feel the connection to maybe to Emily and probably to Caleb too, is because like we've seen them just fighting for their life pretty much this entire time. And they're still standing. Emily more so though, like we said, I think she's getting that winner's arc, that winner's edit. I almost feel like she's like a lock for at least like top five at this point. Which, you know, recent seasons, it seems like the best players have gone out top five, maybe perhaps, sometimes, but, I don't know, something about her. I'm just, like I said, it's just that whole story arc is just so interesting to me. It's great TV.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, like, if Emily wins the season, like Dylan won't know the reference, but Big Brother 24 last season, we had Taylor Hale, and, like, her arc was, like, very, very kind of similar, where she had, like, an extremely rough first few weeks in the house and, like, was basically a social pariah, and she ended up in like an underdog alliance that kind of flipped the game on its head, and then she goes on to end up winning the season. So like it's like a very kind of similar arc, where it's like the ultimate, like, you couldn't write it better underdog story. And yeah, I mean, I think like right now, for me at least, the most narratively the best winner for the story it would be Emily, but like there's still a ton of season left, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. It'd be cool to have, you know, a Taylor like right, obviously very different circumstances. A lot of Emily's issues are more self, you know.
Yeah, but Taylor didn't really do anything wrong.
Taylor didn't do anything, but Emily has been so great in, you know, the swap, fixing her image, and then, you know, even at the merge, she's trying to reach out to Bruce and be like, I'm so sorry, we got off on the wrong foot, I was like a jerk. It doesn't help with Bruce, he's very stuck in his ways, but at least she's like making the effort to be like, oh man, I recognize that came off really bad, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no, I it's very rare like that we get somebody who's able to correct their self-awareness so just like quickly. Like, because you usually, like, it's the opposite on Survivor, where the elements kind of make you the worst version of yourself. And in this case, like the pressures of the game like forced Emily to be like the best version of herself. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, financial analyst Emily Flippin. I don't know if you've seen her Instagram. But she captions every single one of her pictures that. It's insane behavior, but I kind of love it. Yeah, if she wins, the thumbnail will just be a picture of her with that.
Doesn't she live? Does she live in Massachusetts now? Am I making that up? Is she in Massachusetts? Because I know, because obviously, what's his name and the other girl? I'm like drawing blanks on the name. Too late for me. Are from Massachusetts themselves, but I feel like she was one of the ones that
lived. Kendra.
Yeah, are from Massachusetts, but I feel like she might be one that lives there, which would also be cool to have a fellow citizen of the state.
Her casting says DC.
Okay, not quite Massachusetts.
Yeah, Jake's enough Massachusetts for sure. Everyone.
Yeah, I used to, like I said, at first I thought maybe the accent was being a little overplayed, but he's done it so naturally now. It's so
now that guy's from Boston.
Yeah, no, not now. Also, seeing again Kendra is from Salem, was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
She has such big emotions. I love it. Like facial expressions and everything.
Yeah,
it's really great.
Oh, also, speaking of, you know, I was talking about like the Bruce versus Caleb kind of looking way of looking at the game. I thought it was a really interesting kind of like vignette with the conversation between Emily and Kendra, where Emily was like, if you save Caleb, you know, he'll be grateful to you, and for, like, he'll be forever grateful to you. And Kendra was like, that's not how Survivor works. And Emily was like, that's exactly how Survivor works. And
like, I'm living it.
Yeah, yeah, she's literally living proof of it. Because Caleb put the work in to save her and to, like, build a relationship with her. And now she saved him twice.
Yeah, it's crazy that I noticed that as well. It's crazy that it's like, well, one, this is your first season of Survivor, both of you. But two, it's like, you haven't really been to any tribals. You went to one. Mm-hmm. Like we said, Emily's lived more of the Survivor experience so far, of the game anyways.
Yeah. No, I thought that was interesting because it was like, it was basically Kendra like saying, no, your experiences are incorrect, Emily.
I mean, like, we talk about it all the time, like, or maybe not all the time on this podcast, but just in general, you know, saving someone on Survivor is so big. Like, again, second chance, Jeremy saves Fishback, and Fishback literally in that moment was like, I'm with you 100%, like, to the end. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like that's just human nature, right? To be like, oh my god, oh, yeah, like, my game was over, you saved me, like, I'm with you. This is it, you know?
I don't think it can be understated how much, like, legit loyalty can pay off in the game. I mean, you like, look at Natalie. I mean, to go back to her almost her entire wedding arc was, it was out of, like, almost pure revenge for Jeremy. Her biggest move was like a chef kiss revenge move for her. I think that, yeah, having someone that's, like, truly loyal to you in the game. And like I said, I think Emily and Caleb are loyal to each other. Like I said, Emily 150% made the right move both ways. I think now I've talked myself into that too. Because going out of your way there to save him would have been wrong. But yeah, especially down the stretch too, because I don't know. I think recent seasons, at some point we've seen everyone's alliances or loyalties crack at some point. And it's pretty much been like the undoing of their game almost. Even like Jam Jam and Carolyn, I mean, they were loyal to a point where, but I think towards the end they weren't. I don't know. It could be not like they were at the beginning. Not like I bought into like they were at the beginning, which is also probably why though Jam Jam won, was because he maybe got out at the exact right time and played his game outside of Carolyn's. But I'm going on a tangent, but I don't know. I agree. I think when you find someone that's truly loyal in the game, you know, it's not all cutthroat and best interest for yourself. I think that, you know, it really does go a long way once you find that person there.
No, I agree. I think last season was also the first thing that came to mind for me, is like the Tika 3, like, proved that, especially in the new era with the, like, it's almost kind of wrapped around to where being, like, I don't want to say blindly loyal, but like loyal to like what people would have perceived before to be a fault, is just the correct way to play now. It's like the only way you can actually have success long term. As you compare that to like the season before, where you have Jesse cutting Cody in a way that like made sense on paper strategically, but can't actually pay off because of the like the threat deletion kind of method that has become the meta of the new era, and the Tika 3 basically playing it down as long as possible, and then just having to be necessarily broken up at 4 because Heidi wins immunity, is like just the way that you kind of, you know, expect it to play. And yeah, I think that like, it would have been successful for Carson if he could have made fire. It ended up being successful for Jam Jam. I think in hindsight, I don't know if Carolyn could ever have like gotten better than third place because of the way that she was perceived by the other players, unfortunately. So like, I think that across the board, all of those players like reached the highest amount that you could expect them to realistically get to on average, based off of loyalty.
Maybe that'll be Emily's challenge too this year, as if she does get it to the end. If she is kind of navigating in the back of just pure survival, I do wonder if maybe, I hope not, that there'll be the perception that she kind of just lucked her way or like hung back long enough to be able to get there towards the end and didn't, because obviously we see as people watching it that she's playing a great social game. I just hope, because like I agree with you, Ben, and my first instinct with Carolyn was that it sucked, and I think that there was a lot of bitterness on the jury where now maybe she just didn't do enough on the face of it to her tribe mates to show that she actually should have won it compared to Jim Jam. I just hope that doesn't have to happen to Emily, because I just, like I said, I've said it 20 times during this podcast, but I think that her arc and the way that she's been framed in the story is just so compelling and so easy to root for and latch onto that I just hope that if she does get to that point that it's not something that's like held against her or anything like that.
Yeah, same here. We'll see. There's so much game left to play. Like, I can't even pretend to know what I'm talking about in terms of who's gonna pull this out. But I'm excited. The season's been good so far. Last night episode was really great. And my boy Jake, he was not safe. No one came for him. Does that mean people don't see him as a threat, or he's, you know, positioned well? Time will tell.
Yeah, I do think Kelly and Jake is like kind of a low-key, kind of under the radar, like potential power pair down the line, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. They haven't really, there hasn't been a ton of like story investment in beyond like a couple of scenes, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
then dare I say this, the season's been great. I think it's been better than good. I think it's been great so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two thumbs up through sixth episode, two thumbs up for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the quitters aside, it's been really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. And then those two moments, not great, but the episode surrounding them, very good.
Mm-hmm. I think I think a testament. I completely forgot about the quitters, so you just brought them up.
Yeah, well, right. I think Hannah quitting made the season better,
much better. Term. Yeah,
because that gave us the Emily arc. Because Emily would have gone home if she hadn't quit. So,
yep.
And hopefully Sifu can equally deliver in terms of entertainment. You know, mm-hmm. he's such a ball of energy, and I feel very bad for him because he so desperately just wants to be part of something, and no one seems to be like extending their hand and be like, Sifu, yes, come with.
I think Jeff loves. I think you could tell he's one of the ones that Jeff loves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the rain scene was like a lot.
Yeah,
if I was on Survivor and somebody had that level of energy, it would just be too much.
I don't know where he gets it. He has unlimited like levels of energy. Even like during the challenge, he's like, you know, being hyped. It's like, dude, how? Like after not eating for 13 days, how are you like this right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I have. I mean, Stickbug, definitely player of the week. Emily, close second.
Sanctuary, how we feel about the Sanctuary? New look this season.
I didn't even notice.
Seems more like a permanent structure now.
The one place prize, and we really didn't spend a whole lot of time for like to get like new visuals and stuff. Got Stickbug.
Yeah, because there was no Applebee's.
Nope.
This is bad work by the marketing team Survivor to not get that partnership back, in my opinion. And you know what? Bad for Applebee's to not want to be included in such a good season of Survivor.
That would be, yeah. I mean, they were just had the whole cast drinking like those dollar apparatus.
Maybe more of an Outback Steakhouse guy myself. That's the real classic.
You don't like Applebee's microwave garlic mash?
Listen, it looks great on the show, but not for me.
How dare you? Karishma is coming after you.
Applebee's is definitely like in my mind, like the you're just shopping for Christmas for like 5 hours and you're like, I'm so fucking hungry. Where's something? Oh, Applebee's is right there, like across the parking lot. That's where we're going.
Or you're like on a road trip, but you're like not on a major highway. It's kind of like driving through like secondary roads and back roads. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well, fuck, I need to eat. Is there a restaurant somewhere? I guess.
Yeah.
It's open.
Yep. It's open. That should be their slogan.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing else. You know, we're dragging it out at this point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing else either, other than, you know, another fun week talking to you guys, as always.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yep. So follow me at DJ Cleverlang on Twitter. Don't. Similar to what you said, though, Brent, I've just been like staying off Twitter as much as possible, especially in the event that I don't watch Survivor, I have to like avoid it like the plague.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that would have been immediately spoiled for you.
Yeah.
You follow me on Twitter at TheFakeMeMar, BMARR. Of course, we have the main channel. We could get everything. We could get sports. Been doing a lot of sports videos this week over there to make up for not doing any the week before. And then Slow News Week, I got a new video filmed. Just got to edit it and put it up on there. So check those out.
Ben? Gigantic game for your Dolphins this week being played at 9:30 in the morning. Not in this country. So it's like arguably one of the biggest games of the year being played in Germany. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel like they were like, oh, hopefully this will be a good matchup, so we'll give it to Germany. And I was like, oh, no, this might be a premier matchup. We should have had this on Sunday or Monday night. Mm-hmm. This was a huge mistake, but I will be awake. And either I'll be drunk at noon and happy or drunk drowning my sorrows at noon. We'll see what happens.
Sounds like either way you'll be drunk, which is a conversation for another day.
Things are tough, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Words tough.
I'm not gonna like fault anyone for day drinking, you know? You do you.
Yeah. Listen, I'll be drunk. I'll have a nice buzz. I'll play Spider-Man because I haven't been able to play it too much since it came out, but it's been very fun what I have played. So it's going to be a good Sunday afternoon regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, for me, follow me on Twitter at Ben Sharon. I tweet, you know, a couple times a month at this point. You know, like Dylan and Brian said, I don't really use the platform too much anymore. It's kind of dog shit. otherwise, check out our stuff. Watch Devil's Plan on Netflix, please, so that we can get a guaranteed season 2.
I think I'm just going to go back to posting in, like, the bodybuilder forms. Like, start contributing there again.
Yeah, just go there. That's, you know, the birthplace of many. Do you even lift, bro? That from a bodybuilder, I mean, makes sense. But that was a big meme.
Some of the best advice I've gotten from bodybuilder forums. So take that for.
I love the meme of like the scrawny young kid like typing something that it's like a bunch of like bodybuilders like giving him really positive like advice. Very good. That's just what I imagine. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.